Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Well, I just want to encourage you, if you are here for the very first time, if you've come along today and somebody has brought you, or maybe you found us on the internet or through the podcast, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being here, and that you belong. That you can be here, that we have got room for you, that there is space for you. There are friends waiting here for you, friends that you haven't quite met yet, but there are people here who I believe are going to be influential in your future if you want to hang around. And so you're very welcome. You're welcome to just pop in, but we'd love you to do more than that. We'd love you to be here, be part of what God is doing in this place, this house. And I've been reading quite a few different books and listening to some things about the power of belonging and how important it is for us as humans to belong. And Pastor Richard recently preached about that and as well, which was very, very impacting. And I just want to say, you belong here. I belong here. This is my house, my family. I belong, but you belong. And maybe you've been here a long time and you feel a bit disconnected. Engage, get back in. You belong. This is your family. This is your church, and God wants to grow you right here. Is that cool? I just felt to encourage us with that this morning. Well, prosper with purpose. Money. You know, like, let's talk about money. And already some of you are thinking, oh, we're not supposed to do that in church, but we're doing it, and we're going to do it and learn and grow and let God breathe into us, because our finances are such a big part of our lives, such a significant part. And so it's important that we have God's input into that and His wisdom. So I believe whether you are a Christian or not, that there's some great things, some great tools today that will help you go forward. So is that cool? We already learned something? Well, I recently was chatting with someone and they said to me that when they talk about money, and then even like days like today, it actually gives them anxiety. They feel anxious. And that's not good. We shouldn't feel anxious when we start to think about our money. And God wants us to live in faith, not in fear. He wants us to live trusting Him, not worrying that we won't have enough. How will we survive? What will we do? But I know that feeling. I personally know that feeling of panic when you sort of look at your maths, the income, the money in your bank account and what you know is coming, and that feeling of panic. How will we survive? What will we do? How will we see the future through? And I think young people, sometimes even though you know that you've got a good future ahead of you, I've got money in the bank, I know I can save, still there can be this anxiety, this worry about, what about the future? How will I ever buy a house? What about my kids? What if something was to happen? You know, the older we get, what if something happened to my partner? How will I put my kids through school? All these things can cause us to start to live in fear, but God doesn't want us to live like that. We're meant to live in faith. And I think, like, God's really clever, all right, just in case you didn't know that. And He's really wise, and He knows all things. And so He knew that money was going to be a big thing in our lives. He knew that money was going to be something that could actually give us a lot of struggle or grief. So He actually put a lot about money in the Bible. There is so much about our finances, our well-being, as far as our money goes in the Word of God. There's about 2,500 verses on money. So if you're thinking, oh, church, money, don't go together, that's a lot of scripture you've got to get little scissors to cut out. Like, that's a lot of little holes in your Bible. So I figure God needs us to talk about it and wants us to, because He knew we were going to need help. He knew that we were going to need wisdom that was above our current environment, above our Australian dollar, above our US dollar, whether we were trading in gold, whether we're trading in olive oil, whether we're trading in lira, whether we're trading in denarii like the New Testament, whatever we're trading in, God knew that the measure of our wealth, the measure of our earnings, was going to need godly wisdom to manage so we could go forward. So God's given us lots of wisdom for that. Is that good? He wants to lead us, He wants to protect us. And even more, He actually wants us to experience His supernatural power in our finances. He wants us to actually live in a miracle zone in our finances, just as much as our health, just as much as our knowledge, just as much as every other area. He wants to supernaturally lead us with our finances. So today, I actually want to get really practical. Because I'm a very practical person. Just give me the instructions, show me what to do, help me out here, and I can go forward with that. Richard, he's not so practical. I have to help him in that regard. So I'm sure tonight he'll inspire the socks off you and you'll be like, oh my gosh, how do we do this? Ah, Pastor Alan told us this morning. So that'll be really cool. Because I want to live a lifestyle of generosity. I want to be somebody who is a generous person, who lives out of generosity, is not living tight and counting every penny and worrying. I want to live like that, and I want God to help me do that. When King David presented the challenge, the dream, the desire, however you want to describe it, to actually build the temple of God, when King David presented that to the people of Israel, the people responded generously, they responded willingly, and they responded cheerfully. And David himself was actually overwhelmed by this. It actually caught him by surprise. He was like, wow, wow, God, this is amazing watching your people respond. And we can see this in 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 29, verse 14. David says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able, to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, God, and we have given only what comes into our hands. So he acknowledges that, wow, your people, God, have been able to give so generously. That's amazing. It's amazing that they want to do it, but it's even more amazing that everything that we have has actually come from you in the first place. And I think when we keep that in mind, that everything that we have, all the good things that we have, they've come from the hand of God. He is the owner of every house in the northern suburbs of Melbourne. He owns the land that your house is built on. The Bible says to us, he owns the cows on 1,000 hills. Like, well, I don't have cows and hills, but I have a piece of land in Glenroy, but really it's God's. I'm going to be here a whole 80 years. But somebody else has been there before me and someone else will be there after me. At the end of the day, when we cash it all in and it goes back to the owner, the whole thing, the whole kabang, it's all God's. And he is the one that resources us. They were able to do this because God had blessed them and they'd followed his instructions and his guidance. But what motivated these people? What actually drove them to be so generous? We continue in 1 Chronicles 29, 17 and 18. It says, I know, my God, that you test the heart. It was a heart issue. And you're pleased with integrity. It's a heart issue. It's a conviction issue. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. It's a heart issue. It's what drives us from the inside. It actually wasn't about instruction. There's nothing there that says it was about the rules that you gave us. It was about the heart to honor God. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. So David, first of all, reflects on himself. He's like, I know why I've given, but now I look around me at these people and why have they given? Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever and keep their hearts loyal to you. What a great prayer to be praying for the people of God. God, keep our hearts loyal to you. Keep our hearts on fire for you. Keep our hearts thinking about things beyond ourselves. That it's not just about me and my life and my world. Keep my heart open that you can lead me. Keep my heart open that I can encourage another person in some way with generosity. That maybe I can shout someone a meal. Keep my heart open. Keep my heart pure. Don't let me get tight in my heart and small thinking. It was out of their relationship with God that a foundation of generosity came. It was out of their conversation with God, knowing who God was for them, that enabled them to be that for other people. And their ability to give came out of their belief, out of their thinking, and their desire to honor God with what they had. They had generous spirits. They were generous people. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to be known for that. Yeah? I'd like to be known. I'd like us as a body of people, but also as an individual, to have a reputation of generosity. And that's not something that I think I had as a young person. That's not something that as my bills got tight and life got tricky that I think came naturally. I've had to fight for that. I've had to develop that. that I can be a generous person, that that's who I am. And, you know, not saying it's easy, not saying I've got all the way there, but that's where I'm heading and what I'm always trying to grow in. Because generosity is not something that you can just turn on or off. Generosity is actually who we are. Generosity is actually like you're kind, you're kind, you're generous, you're faithful, you're hospitable. It's generous is who you are. I can't decide, oh, today I'm going to be generous, but tomorrow I'm not, because it just doesn't work like that. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will reap generously. So generosity grows like a tree. Generosity in our lives is something that as we do it more, as we get, it's like, oh, wow, I've been generous and I've seen the blessing on my life because of that. I've seen how it's helped somebody else. I've seen the fruitfulness of it. Oh, I want to be more generous. It's just like when you start to exercise. I hate the exercise examples, but they're so obvious. You know, the muscles grow, they get stronger and stronger. And then when you stop doing it, you start to see the gap in your life. You know, I was exercising pretty well. I hate exercise, all right? Absolutely hate it. I just want to put it out there. For all the people who hate it, have I said it? I'm going to say it again. I hate exercise, all right? But I know it's good for me. And then I was starting to see like some good results. I'm like, oh, this is great. I felt fit. I felt healthy on the inside. And then for the last 3 months up until a week ago, I'd done nothing. No joke. Nothing. And I started to, it was all right at the beginning, but as time went on, I started to feel like when you exercise, you get pains. Like, you know, you get like a sore muscle, burning. Well, I started to discover I had just as many pains, but they were pains because I wasn't exercising. So I'm thinking, okay, so I'm going to have pain either way. I'm going to feel stiff either way. I'm going to, like, age is going to make me like this, so I may as well exercise. So I've got pain for a different reason. And it's the same with generosity. We can slip back. And then we forget. We start to go, oh, I feel restricted and I'm in pain. Well, just keep being generous. Just let that thing start up again. Bring that thing back into your life. Because generosity is a muscle and you have to exercise it. You have to stretch it. You have to expand it. You have to go to the next level. You can't just expect it to grow all by itself. So I've got some practical tips. I have done your homework this morning. Thank you, Pastor Helen. Because I have a feeling, how many of you love reading books about your financial planning as a family? Pop your hands up. All 5 of you? Awesome. Had a feeling about that. How many of you actually like to think about your superannuation fund and know the how much the fees are, the details of that? Yeah, not so. Oh, a few more care about that. Okay, not so many. How many of you actually know exactly what your bank is charging you and is it correct? Was last month's interest correct? No. Oh, a couple. Oh, I like you guys. You need to be in my life. So I thought I would help you a little bit today with a couple of things. Now, obviously, I am not a financial planner. We do have people who are in this industry in our church. There's lots of great people out there in your community. So please, if you apply everything I say and something goes wrong, don't sue me. All right? Disclaimer up front. I'm just giving you some tips that I've read in a book. I'm just passing them on. So tag team, okay? We all love a bit of tag team. Well, have you heard of Dave Ramsey? Yeah. Yes. So this guy is actually a well-known author and speaker in the area of living in financial freedom. And he gives us 5 things that the Bible tells us about handling our money. So I think these 5 things are applicable to every one of us. They're helpful. You might say, oh, I've read the book. That's great. A little bit of a reminder today. You might say to me, I did the course. That's even better. Why don't you run the course so some people can be part of it? You might say, oh, you know, I'm all over this stuff. That's fantastic. For the rest of us in the room and most of us who need a bit of a reminder, just a checklist, we're going to learn a couple of things today. So the first thing is we have to work hard. That's just an assumption, all right? That's not even one of the things. No, that's not one of the things yet. The first thing is you just got to work harder, right? So we'll put that. And can we hold my thing? I do like him. He's really cute. But I've actually, the 5 things, and I've called them the things. I've called them things because they're not steps. They're things. 5 things. You can't just do them in order. You have to do them all the time. You have to rotate them. You have to get better at all of them. So they're things. All right, so we've got the 5 things. So I'm a bit of a Cat in the Hat fan. So we have got five things happening today. Now I'll have thing one. So isn't he cute? They were my favourite books to read my kids. Get a budget. Okay, Luke chapter 14, verse 28 says this. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish, enough to finish it? Now, I know for many of you, a budget is like, yay, I love a budget. Some of you are like, I've never had a budget. I'm fine. Don't need one. That's cool. It's like a swear word to you. But I believe if we want to be generous, we need to know what's it cost to live my life and where does my money go? And then I know how much is left over for me to do these amazing things that I'm dreaming of doing because I know what's left over. That to me is a budget. All right, now it can get much more complex than that. It can look like mine, which has how many coffees we have, how many... It doesn't have to look like that. It can just be as simple as a guide, a tool for you to know we can spend $300 a week on stuff. That's our expense budget. That's what we've got. So it can be really simple. It can be complicated. You can get someone to help you with that. But the key thing is, what does your life cost to live? And as you get a pay rise and a pay rise and a pay rise, will your life just keep costing you more to live? Or are you going to make choices about where there's limits on that and what is reasonable and what is good? Or are we just going to keep spending every cent that comes into our pockets? When we think about a budget, it helps us to think, what are we trying to achieve? Where do I want to be in 20 years? What does my retirement look like? How do I want to spend? Where do I want to go on holidays? Who do I want to take with me? What do I want for my children's future? What do I want for my future? A budget helps us to think about some of those things. You know, when we first got married, Richard and I, you know, the budget was really tight. It was bad. But that's okay, we survived. And then we got along the way and Richard started working and we got a more settled job and we were in the church. You know, as you go along, you get better income. And I really believed, I wanted our children to go to a specific school. And I knew this school was going to cost us a little bit of money. And we talked about it together and he was like, oh, all right, if you think it's important, you know, it's one of your values, that's cool, we'll do it together. So when they were probably, Sarah was probably in grade two, I started to think about how would I afford to send her to this school because it was something I wanted in my future. And there is no way we could afford to do that. At that point in time, our income, I wasn't working yet, our income, we would never have been able to do that. But we believed that that was what we wanted in the future. So I did the enrollment, I paid the deposit. Paying the deposit was a stretch. But I was like, God, I believe that you're going to help us make a way in the future, that where we'll be in 4 years is not where we are now and that we can do that. So I applied faith to my budget. Did I enroll her? Did I pay the school fees when I couldn't afford them? No. No, but I applied faith that, God, I believe in the future. You're going to help us. I'm believing for this. So I started to put some money into a bank account to start to sow a seed for that future. And when our kids got to high school, all three of them went to that school, went through that particular school. I paid every single one of those fees on time. The third year, when all three were there, I've got to tell you, it was a tight budget year, but God made a way. I made room for God. I put it on the page what we believe for. So, but if I hadn't thought about it in advance, if I hadn't imagined what the future could look like, I wouldn't have been prepared for it. So God says to us, make a plan. Be ready. The same thing happened with our house mortgage when we went from renting to a mortgage and our payment doubled. And I'm sharing this with you because some of you are at that transition stage of the next leg up. Many of you are like, oh, wow, I don't remember having a tight budget. But that stretch, the double from rent to mortgage, I'm thinking, I remember getting in the laundry and closing the door and crying. I was crying. I'm like, God, how are we going to pay this? This is such a stretch. I don't know how we're going to do it. I said, God, help us because I believe this is what you want for us. I believe you want us to own our home. I believe you want us to be strong financially. I believe you want us to be on a good foundation so we can go forward. Not once did we miss that payment. Not once did I actually struggle to make that payment. It was fine. It was, you know, sometimes a bit of juggling, but never did I ring the bank and say, I can't pay our mortgage today because I knew that we would be committed to it. So sometimes we've got to apply the faith. We also did something else. We had this idea, this building project idea, and it seemed like a bit of a stretch. So the first two things, I think I had wisdom with faith. Wisdom with faith. This one was called stupidity plus faith. It was a stupid idea. It was a bad idea from the beginning. I don't know what we were thinking, and it cost us a lot of money. Money just went straight down the tube. But you know what? We learned. It's okay. You learn from these things. So a budget helps us to spend less than we earn. That's the idea. Just a tip. The idea of a budget is you have the income at the top, expenses at the bottom, and the one at the bottom should be a smaller number than the one at the top. Just a tip. Just a quick tip for you. So if you're married, if you're engaged, make sure you're working together on these things. Make sure you're both going in the same direction. Make sure you know where your money's going. Don't be someone that, like, you know, one of you is making a great budget, the other one's spending all this stuff they don't have. It's not helpful. You're supposed to be together on the same page for your future. We need to understand the dreams and desires that we have, our values as a family, and then together, with faith and discipline, you can get there. Pray, ask God to help you. Ask God to put your plan in place and then say, God, bless our budget. Help us to go forward. And the thing about it is it's a bit like your GPS. You know, when you put the address in your GPS in your car, when you get there, it says, you have arrived at your destination. But if you didn't put the GPS with the address in and you just drove around all day and you just stopped somewhere, it's like, is this where you wanted to be? That you have arrived at your destination. We're here, and that's how you know. Thing two, get out of debt. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. God never uses debt to bless his people. Stop for a moment and imagine your life without repayments. Imagine if you owned your home, you didn't have a car payment, you didn't have a credit card payment, you just knew that what you spent this week is gone, and what's still in the bank is yours to choose what you do with. That's a great way to live, hey? That's how we're designed to live. Now, I know we need a mortgage for a home. You know, it's very difficult to save up $1 million for a house. That's $500,000. But ideally, we should be trying to live outside of debt. We shouldn't be owing people money. So get rid of debt. Cut your credit card up. Might be tricky. You know, I recently got called a slut. I got called a slut. And I was a little bit upset by that. But it was because I'm a credit card slut. And what I do is I like to get the points. I go from card to card. So I've been told that that's not a good thing to do. I like the points. I pay my card off. I never pay interest. But no, Helen, just live on what... So I've got to get a new habit in my life. No more of these things. I believe God wants me to live in freedom. I'm not owing anyone anything. So no, not that sort of slut. Is that what you thought I meant? No. Oh, so imagine your life without any repayments. Imagine what that could look like. Thing three, foster high quality relationships. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Your friends, the people you spend money, you spend life with, spend time with, will shape your financial habits. If you were going out every night of the week with people who spend big bucks on dinner and you don't have that money, it's not going to be good for you. It's not a good influence on your life. They will influence your financial position. It's important to hang out with people who are looking to have a similar financial future to you, that are trying to challenge you, inspire you, encourage you to go the same way. Here's a thought. As parents, we're very careful about who our kids hang out with. Yeah. We're very, no, I don't want you to go to their house. I've seen, well, we've got to think as adults, as young people, who am I hanging out with and what is the influence on this of this person on my life? I remember I was in year 8 and I liked this boy at the youth group. His name was Craig. And I thought he was cute. And one Friday night, Craig had his arm around me at youth. And it was pretty cool because I went to a girls' school. You didn't meet many boys. So when you did, had to, make the most of it because it might be the only one you ever met. But anyway, so Craig. And then on Monday afternoon, my mum comes home from school because she's a school teacher in the local high school. I didn't go to the local high school, but Craig did. Yeah, so I came home on Monday night and my mum's like, so what's going on with Craig? So, but you know what? As a mum, she didn't want Craig in my life. She knew he wasn't the sort of boy for my future. And so sometimes we have to be a little bit protective about who is speaking into our lives. Craig, if you're out there listening, God bless you. It's great. Spend time with people who are going to help you go forward and apply the things that you know God wants for your life, whether it's studying. If you're trying to study and you're hanging out with a lot of people who don't study, it's going to be hard. If you're trying to build a business and you have no other friends who are building a business, it's going to be hard. If you're trying to learn and grow, if you're trying to plant a garden, hang out with people who are doing gardening. You know, whatever you're trying to do in life, make sure there's some good people around you who are doing that. Because people mold us for the good or the bad. You know, that's exactly what Kingdom Builders is. What we're doing here at Lifehouse, Kingdom Builders, is rallying people together who are all trying to move forward to fund the kingdom, which is very exciting. Yeah. Thing four, save and invest. Proverbs 21:20 says, the wise store up choice food and olive oil, the currency of the day, but fools gulp down theirs. Olive oil was an exchange, a currency. Food choice, if you could actually choose what food you would eat, it meant you were wealthy. So this scripture is saying that those who are wealthy aren't just consuming everything that comes into their hand. Yeah. Try and live on 70% of what you earn. Take your number, give your tithe, take 70 out of the rest and go, okay, that's it. That's all you've got. Work out how you're going to live on that and save and invest the other 30%. Yeah. Save for a rainy day. You just don't know what's going to happen. And you might say to me, oh, that's not very positive. It's a bit of a negative thought. Well, I can be positive. I can be positive that there's going to be a rainy day. That something will happen, that life will come your way. Really, it just does. And, you know, even last week, Richard shared that he had that lump on his leg that he had to have cut out. But you know what? Even he went to the hospital and we had to pay, you pay all the gaps, all the bills. But it wasn't a stress. It wasn't like, oh, my gosh, no, which it would have been 15, 20 years ago. But now it's like, that's okay because we have savings. We've got money set aside for a rainy day. But we have to choose to do that. Retire in dignity. I want to retire in dignity. I don't want to leave my retirement in the hands of the government. I need to actually plan for it, get ready for it. I know this is really practical, but I believe sometimes we have to just get down to the basics. Be a good caretaker of what we have. Proverbs 27, 23 and 24 says, be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds. For riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations. You should know your financial position. You should know. And you might be happy with it, you might be sad with it, but if you don't know, how can you change it? How can you do something different? If you don't have enough money and you're super panicking about it is not the right thing to do, working out how am I going to change that? What would I have to do to be in a different position in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? The banks and all these organisations don't want us to ask questions. They don't want us being empowered. They don't want us to have the facts. But it's our money. It's your money. They've got your money in the bank and you should have all the answers if you want them. So don't ever feel bad for ringing and asking the questions. Don't ever feel bad sending off an email saying, hey, can you just give me some facts on this? Can you tell me what my rate of return is? Can you tell me, you know, how much my fees are in relation to that? And then you can make a wise and informed decision. Don't feel bad for asking the questions. You know, we have so many podcast listeners, which is really exciting. I got a text just this week from a girl who was in my youth group who I haven't spoken to for years, texted me to say, hey, you were talking about your car, that you were sharing about your little Corolla. I remember you teaching me to drive in that Corolla. I was like, oh my gosh, wow. Okay, so someone I'm not really in touch with is hearing our messages in another place in Australia, which is great. So big shout out to you, Kirsty. But, you know, even overseas and around the world, people are listening to our messages from right here at Lifehouse. So my next little point is really for the Aussies in the room and around the world. I've just finished reading this book called The Barefoot Investor. All the Barefoot Investor lovers, give me a shout. Now, look, this guy, he's copped it. He's people love him, people hate him. I've got to tell you, I have been trying to get my husband on board with our finances for 26 years and 3 months. And this book spoke to him. The Bible, like this and this together, I feel like at last we're on the same page financially. So if you're someone who's not a numbers person, not a budget person, really doesn't want to know anything about it, this guy is really helpful. He's really helpful for your children, for a family. You can actually budget as a family. It's an Australian book. He's not a Christian, all right? So just putting that out there. If you want a podcast or read it, a few words in there, you just skip over. But it's an Aussie tool. The information is updated every year. So it's always current. And, you know, if you're one of those people with your little key card that's got all the mojos, sojo, all the different names on it, you know that that's what people are doing. So it's quite, some people have accused him of being cultish, but I don't know. If it's helpful, go with it. He's not taking my money. It's a checklist for confidence. It's a checklist for you to be asking the right questions. It's a tool to help you know that you're preparing for your future. It's a tool that helps you create space for generosity in your life. Because if you can't afford to live, if you're always living dollar to dollar, generosity is not an easy thing. When there's a big gap, where there's a hole, it's hard to then be generous because you can't look after yourself. Generosity comes out of the next part. So this tool is really, really helpful. And I would encourage you to listen to that, ask some people about it. Ladies, know the state of your flocks. Or whichever half of you is not in charge of the money, know the state of your flocks. Be aware of where it's at. Number five, thing five, be incredibly generous. Thing five. Now, I do believe that, well, God loves, 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, God loves a cheerful giver. Now, our tithe is just our basic step one, and then comes our generosity, our over and above, the next thing. And, you know, as I've said, generosity is not just about our money, it's about our spirit, our attitude, how we treat people. But if you can't be generous with kind words, you're not going to be generous with a car. If you can't be generous with picking up someone's kids from school, you're probably not going to visit them in hospital when they're really... Like, generosity starts with the small things. Generosity starts with shouting a coffee. Generosity starts with paying for someone to go to youth camp. Generosity starts with being kind to somebody at work and giving them a gift that you think is just over and above. Generosity starts with washing our family's clothes. You know, me as a mum, I see that as something generous that I do, that even my young adult children, I wash their clothes. That's an act of generosity. I don't have to do that, but I want to be generous. Having acts, doing things, having an attitude, it's more than just money. Mowing your neighbour's nature strips. Richard did that this week. I think he mowed half the street. But, you know, have an attitude of generosity, because you and I are made in God's image and God is a giver. He is a cheerful, he is the giver of givers. He is the most abundant giver. And we're made in his image. And I think sometimes we miss out on a lot of the joy and the delight and the encouragement that we are entitled to because we're not generous. Because as we're generous, it comes back to us, not just as money, but as joy. Have you ever noticed generous people are really happy? Generous people are always smiling because they're seeing the impact on other people's lives. So keep exercising our generosity. Malachi says to us that God wants to open the windows of heaven. He wants to open the windows of heaven on our lives. And I sort of pictured like God with this big window thing happening. He opens up these windows and he starts to pour. He starts to pour out blessings on us. He's like, oh, look at you. Here, you want some of my, oh, you want some good things? Oh, I got more for you. He wants to pour. He wants to pour out his blessings. But you know one of the things about gravity? Anyone done physics? Not me, all right? So if I get it wrong, don't correct me, all right? But gravity, as it falls, it gets faster, it gets harder, it multiplies. It's got impact more down there than it had up here. So even what God gives us multiplies as it comes to us. He expands it as it comes into our space. He's ready. He's eager. That's what he wants to do. Not just small things. Then he goes, actually, hey, have a whole packet. Take the whole lot. Actually, here, have five packets. Here, have five packets. Actually, oh, you over there, I know I can trust you. Have more. See? I was very careful not to throw too many. OH&S, brief me. But God wants to bless us. God wants us to be like Him. And if we can do some practical things, if we can put some things in place, some just really clear tools, then we can live generously. Then we can let loose and have a lot of fun. But if you just let loose and have a lot of fun and you've got no clothes to wear, it's unattractive for the rest of us. It's really not a good look. So you have to look after you, your family, look after the house of God, tithe. Number one, tithe. Make sure you can pay your bills. Live within your means. And let generosity stir up in your heart. Titus. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 to 8. I love this scripture because it just packs up the whole thing. It just gives us all of it in one go. So we're just going to quickly read this. It says, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. Out of control. That was me. That was me, not just with my money, but every area of my life. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another with tensions and struggles, you know, our past. Before God comes, before Jesus comes and rescues us. But then he goes on to say, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. He rescued me. He rescued many of us in this room. And if you're here today and he hasn't rescued you, he wants to rescue you. He wants to rescue you out of financial struggle. He wants to rescue you out of chasing stuff. He wants to rescue us. He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, not because we're great, but because of him, because of his great mercy. He saved us through washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us. How? 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 He poured on us generously. God has given us so much. He's poured out on us through Jesus, our Savior. So that, why did he do it? He did it for a reason. He just didn't do it and then stop. He did it so that having been justified by Jesus' grace, we can become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. You and I become the inheritors, the heirs of everything God has. Well, God has everything. So there is no limit. You don't have to live in fear because there is no limit to what your Heavenly Father has. And if you put good things in place and you honor Him with your life and your work and your finance, He will bless you. He will look after you. You don't need to live in fear. Malachi, he will pour it out. This is a trustworthy saying. I love that. It's like he says, guys, you can believe me. Don't doubt. This is the truth. And I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful too. Here's the instruction. This is what we're meant to be doing. If you trust in God, this is for us. To devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable to everyone. That describes generous living. That we would do, he doesn't say that they would be excellent and profitable for you. He says our actions, our behavior, our lifestyle should be profitable and beneficial to other people. That's generosity. So why do we need to prosper? Why does God want us to have a good financial base? Why does God want us to manage our money well? Because we've got a purpose. And our purpose is that our money would have more influence than just ourselves. That it would actually, what we do, our actions, our behaviours, would be profitable to others. So that's cool, isn't it? So five things. I hope that's encouraged you this morning.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.